We want to say ho'a to all the elders and to the matriarchs and the clan mothers and the hereditary chiefs. We say ho'a to you all. We want to say, you know, that we stand together as one people here today. And before, you know, I get, like we get other speakers here, is I would like to introduce the hereditary chief, one of the hereditary chiefs of the Squamish Nation, Ian, if you're here, Ian Campbell. Oh, there he is right in front of you. He's short as I am, that's why. It's hard to see.
Build for the canoes. Osiam Tanoyab, Osiam Smadash, Ya Unoxwit, Yuan Hot, the Koch Nomi with, Yuan Hot, Tiskoko Yensots with, Awaichit, Nux Chinchins Toy, Awaichit Nux Ayatawai, Esquaichit Minoch, the Coquain Stomach, Nato Quicoquain Tisnu Ayat, the Chiach, Waichit Nux Insech Natum, the Kais Locum Tameok. That's why he is Toxin Siachin, Estathoqua else. Esquajit Minoch, this man humps, his dog chit, it is man manchit. And wow chit, Nox chinchins to I in choke mode. Just wanted to say hello, everybody. Thank you for coming out. It's wonderful to see you all here in support. Our elders always use words such as chinchins to I in our language means unity, cooperation. They use words like inchotmot, which means one heart and one mind. Words of integrity, of coming together with compassion, support for one another in respect of our diversity. I think everyone should learn our language to learn to speak the truth. I welcome you here. This territory has sustained our peoples for innumerable generations. The Coast Salish peoples, the family of the Homatkoyam, the Tsalewatoth, the Skomish, and all of our relatives of the Stolo. We are one family under the umbrella of Salish. This land is very rich. Our stories talk about transformation, many, many chapters in our history, catalysts of change. Look around you today. This is no different from the flood stories of the long ago, from the stories of the Ice Age, the stories of the droughts, when our populations dwindled and we had to adapt to our ever-changing environment. This is a modern flood over the land called development, colonization. You have a choice if you will succumb or if you will adapt. There are many words of adaptation and transformation. I encourage you to continue in unity, to respect yourselves, respect your land, respect one another. There's a lot we could share today, but I know everyone is very excited, so without too many other words, I'd like to invite my family here to share in a war song from Sekamkain. Nets Nastewaslolams, Asayim Lewinstam, Shtenatla Sekamkain, Tukokwen Stamach Tis Komish. This here is part of our law. Our warriors trained themselves, they prepared themselves, they went out and undergone arduous training to find themselves. Once they found themselves, they were content and ready to give their lives. That is something that many of government officials know nothing of, our training. They haven't been out there. We respect today's tools of education and things, but it has to be in balance with the natural rhythms of the land, not to the detriment of our territories. So we must continue to connect to our lands and our territories in a humble way. Humble ourselves. So this is a warrior song to uphold those values that are so integral to our indigenous peoples throughout the world that are being flooded. Osiam, huichet lolam, plasekum kein slolam, chinko mantomi, osiam.
Oh.
I just want to say hello to the Squamish family here too, and to Ian. I just want to bring up a young woman warrior, you know, who is actually like a daughter of one of the clan mothers from back in the Six Nation and that. And I just want to say hello to her, you know, for just bringing us all out here, just letting us know, you know, what is happening back east. And I just want to bring her over here. Her name is Lindsay Bomberry from the Six Nations.
Skanas wagwego gonosano. Nego soniaga shown down on the gega. My name is Lindsay Bomberry. My real name is Gonosano. My name means very expensive house. And to me, what that name means, you know, to our people, we did not look at the material world as being money and power and something to gain. We looked at the things that we still do. We look at the earth as the things that the earth gives us as being abundance and gifts. So when I think of what that word is supposed to mean in my language, expensive, I don't think that it was meant to mean, you know, a big fancy house that costs a lot of money. I think what it means to us is that I have abundance. I'm from the Onondaga Nation, Eel Clan. Originally from Six Nations, I've been living out here in Vancouver for 5 years. I came out here to continue my journey as a woman and grow and educate myself. And when I came here, what I found was this community with so much strength, so much courage, so much power. And this is something that I feel I've been welcomed into. And I raise my hands to all of you for inviting me to this land and for standing here with me today and with my people, the Haudenosaunee people, the Six Nations. We are Six Nations that have united together under the great law of peace. The great law of peace being a constitution. It wasn't just about governance. It was our traditional governance, but it wasn't just about a form of government. It was a philosophy on peace, on how to attain peace, with the belief that all people are capable of good mind. The good mind being the person who always wants to see eye to eye with all those other nations who surround them. And they know and they realize that that is a journey to reaching that place of the good mind. It's not about a finish line, it's about the journey. Right now, there's about 300 people inside of the reclamation site on Six Nations. And those people are there to reclaim our right to the lands, you know, a small piece of what we were given, what we were treated, in exchange for allying with another nation, for being treated as a nation within ourselves, on a nation-to-nation basis, not a people colonized and oppressed under a colonialist government. We were treated as a nation. That is how these treaties were first written. That is the initial agreements that were first made. And that has not been honored as an agreement that has been broken. We were given 6 miles on either side of the Grand River from mouth to source. And that is a lot of land. I can't remember the exact amount of hectares, but I believe it was somewhere. It practically covers most of southern Ontario. We have less than 5% of that land now. And this piece of land which we claim now, we have just come to learn that our ancestors' graves are within that land, are beneath that soil. So that land that those people are standing on right now, where they have their sacred fire, our ancestors are underneath them. And as we all know, bones never really disappear. Our stories never disappear because our bones never disappear. And they are within the earth, and they talk to us. They come through our feet. I'm going to read to you the statement that was released by the clan mothers, the hereditary clan mothers, who are the matriarch of our Haudenosaunee Confederacy, consisting of the Onondaga Nation, the Fire Keepers, the Mohawk Nation, one of the Big Brothers, the Seneca Nation, again another Big Brother, the Cayuga Nation, one of the Little Brothers, and the Oneida Nation, another Little Brother, as well as the Tuscaroras. These are the 6 nations that you are standing here with today, along with all the other nations, all the other people, the visitors who've come to my territory and come to help and support us. So here is the clan mother's statement. Clan mothers were not meant to ever be queens or a leadership in that Western sense. Clan mothers were mothers to the clan, to the family. Their duty in life is to nurture and protect and do whatever means necessary to ensure that their children, their people, and their communities are healthy and strong. And those women's voices have been oppressed for many, many, many years. Since the Confederacy Council was illegally taken out of power and Band Council forcibly implemented in 1924. The government forcibly implemented their council on our people and delegitimized, in a legal sense, the power of the Confederacy. But now we are rising up. We're rising up, and the Confederacy is coming back. And you have to understand that the Confederacy is not just the clan mothers and the chiefs. The Confederacy is the people, because the great law understood that the power comes from the people. And And that is who the great law manifests from, and it manifests from all of us. Because the great white roots of the great tree of peace were meant to outstretch to all nations. And the prophecy said that someday the eagle and the condor would reunite, and that has taken place. The day before yesterday, a woman arrived from Peru to the reclamation site, and she presented to the clan mothers a condor feather. A part of our prophecy that has now come to be, that indicates a time when we will reclaim our power and our true place, and our traditions will rise again. It's in our wampum belts. That prophecy is woven into our wampum belts, as well as the seventh generation prophecy, woven into this wampum belt, the Hiawatha wampum belt. This belt is where the prophecy of the seventh generation was woven in, indicating a time of alienation from our culture and strife, but that the seventh generation would rise again, and they would heal our people, and they would bring back our traditions, and they would reclaim the power that is rightfully theirs. So I'm going to read the clan mother statement. The women, being title holders to all lands of Turtle Island, assert our constitutional jurisdiction over the Haldimand Tract. We have never and cannot ever give up our land or our sovereignty. The Six Nations are distinct, original nations. We are to be dealt with on a nation-to-nation basis by the Crown and all other nations. The Crown must respect our original relationship as set out in the two-row wampum, our jurisdiction as provided in our constitution, the Ganangkiero, and as respected by Sections 109 and 132 of the BNA Act 1867 and according to international covenants that Canada has signed. We are to be dealt with on a nation-to-nation basis, as was the custom before Canada separated from the British Empire. Respect for the independent international status of the Six Nations by Canada was established before Canada achieved recognition as a state or gained the ability to sign treaties on its own. The independent international identity of the Six Nations identity has never been legally extinguished. The band councils were established with procedures that violated international law. They continue to function as colonizing institutions. We have never consented to their establishment or their representation. Canada and all its politicians, bureaucrats, agents, assignees, and appointees should cease and desist immediately their attempt to criminalize and apprehend our people for defending what is rightfully ours, the land to which we hold title. Any further action by Canada, Ontario, and their agents shall be viewed as being a direct violation of the two-row wampum, the constitutional accord between the Haudenosaunee and Canada and international law. The claims of Canada and the province of Ontario to have a right to legislate for the Haudenosaunee Six Nations and to grant private title to our land has no foundation in law. This is an important time. On a personal level, I've seen my entire life change in a matter of a month. And I don't even live right now in my own territory, but my whole life has changed. The relationships that I have known my whole life between myself and the non-natives surrounding my reserve are torn, tarnished, and something that won't be healed very easily. And it is because of a misunderstanding and Canada's failure to educate their citizens on the truth of what has actually happened and what has actually taken place. We're not criminals because we are staking claim to what is rightfully ours. We do not deserve to have guns put in our face or to be tasered because we are peacefully occupying the land which we hold title to, which our ancestors are buried beneath. We are reclaiming our right to our traditional government. We're reclaiming our right to a voice as a people. As people who each have our own distinct voices that will be recognized and will be spoken and will be silenced no more. We are going to do whatever it takes to stand strong on our land. We were once respected and revered as being some of the most powerful nations in the woodlands because we had such a strong sense of peace. That is something that we are bringing forth again. And the prophecy said that we would spread this outwards and share this with all nations across Turtle Island. And so for that, I say Nyawe to all the people who are here today. Nyawe for being here and standing with us and to show the government and the people of Canada that we will go to any measure necessary to assert our right, our birthright, our inherent right. We're the people of Turtle Island. We've never died, we've never disappeared, and we stand today, tomorrow, and forever. Now I.
Let's hear those drums way back east. Lift them and just let them rip. Let them hear it back in Six Nations. I can't hear it. Come on, you can do better. Let's let them hear it. Sounds wonderful. I just want to say how to Lindsay. She is an amazing young warrior here. I want to bring this next woman here. She's from the Tel-Tan Nation, also one of the organizers, you know, of this rally here. And her name is Anita McPhee.
And my English name is Anita McPhee, and I'd like to thank the Coast Salish people for allowing us to be on their territory. Madu. Last Saturday, over 100 of us came together at the Vancouver Aboriginal Friendship Centre because we were concerned about what was happening in Six Nations to the people who were occupying the camp. We were very concerned about their safety, of the women and the children and the families who are in the camp, and we wanted to do something about it. So we came together as a group, as a collective. And in that time, we met for about 6 hours. And when we came together, we said, let's stand together in unity and do something as a Native people on the West Coast. Let's show our brothers and sisters that we care and that we support them in what they're doing. So, as a collective, we came together with a message to the Six Nations people. We want to honor you in your struggle to protect your lands from exploitation by development companies. We want to honor you. We want to let you know that you are not alone in your struggle. And that we will do anything to make sure that your safety is ensured. And as a collective, we have a message for the government. Stop criminalizing our people when we're standing up for what is right. We also have a message to the government that you need to deal with First Nations people and land conflict issues on a nation-to-nation basis, not at the hands of the police. As the First Nations people of this country, we should be treated with respect and dealt with in an equal, peaceful manner. We also want to send a message to the general public. Stop believing everything you hear and see in the media. You do not know what's happening. We want to tell the general public, start educating yourself about the history of First Nations people. Start learning about this land that you live upon. Start learning about the oppression, the assimilation of the history of First Nations people. Learn, educate yourselves. Don't live in ignorance. And last of all, we want to send a message to our brothers and sisters, our First Nations brothers and sisters, and Indigenous people all across Turtle Island and the world. Unite! Stand together! Don't let fear and intimidation stop you from what you believe in or standing up for what you believe in. Unite! Let's stand together! One mind, one people, one voice. Madhu.
Say, how, Anita. The next speaker that we have, heck, we only got a couple more speakers here, you know, then, you know, I'm going to turn this over to the Vice President of UNN, Mr. David Dennison. But I would like to introduce the next speaker here. He is from Nuchonlith, and he's also the Vice Chief of the Assemblies of First Nation. I'd just like for you guys to welcome him. It's Sean Atleo.
Thank you. The young people are speaking out. My name is Inchut, a.k.a. Sean Atleo. I also want to introduce my son, Chickwasik Meek. It's the young people that are speaking out. It's the young people that were gathering at the Friendship Center saying, what are we going to do to get together to support what's going on in Ontario? BC and Canada should know that over 50% of the Aboriginal population are comprised of young people. And it's the young people who are leading the way. I thank Chief Ian Campbell for welcoming us, as they always so graciously do, into the Coast Salish territories, the territories of the Squamish and of your relatives. I wanted to introduce Chickwasik Meek because he represents the 25th generation hereditary chief in line of the Ahauzit First Nation. We live in this country and in this province within a policy of denial and extinguishment that we can trace back to the debates that took place in Spain in the 1500s about whether or not the indigenous people that were being met in the Americas were human or not. We still live within that kind of thinking today in 2006, and this is something that cannot be denied. It was historically the relationships between indigenous people that allowed us to thrive and survive in the way that we did. It will be the relationships between indigenous people that will allow us to thrive and survive into the future. When the people call you together, in my language, when they're pushing up against the leadership, when they're pushing up to one another, when they're standing up for a cause, it's important for the leadership to listen. I have great pride that a good friend and colleague, Chief Stuart Phillip, President of the Union of BC and in Chiefs, on invitation spent time in Six Nations territories expressing support for the people's struggle. Because it is indeed, as the speakers have said, a struggle that we share. And we must stand together. We must help one another. Hope beats that. How hope that, as the speakers have said, teach one another. Teach one another. It is no longer okay for us to live within a policy of denial and extinguishment. It is no longer acceptable to say it's just because we don't understand. We have to close that gap of understanding, and that's what today is about. That's what this gathering is about, is the people giving expression to the deep frustration that they feel. And it puts the governments on notice. It puts them on notice that unless we can sit down and reconcile our differences, it's going to be taken to the streets. It'll continue in the courts. It'll continue in my son's generation and in my grandchildren's generation. The fight will go on. The next generations are rising up, and they're giving expression to this deep frustration. So I stand here as an Ahauzit, as a Nuchonot, and as Regional Chief for the Assembly of First Nations for British Columbia to thank you for calling us together, so that we can hear you, the best and highest of our teachings. It's not good enough just to hear. It's important to seek understanding, and that's what you're doing here today. So I stand in solidarity with you in support of our relatives in Ontario, in the Six Nations territory. Chu, auna, tliku, tliku. Thank you.
I just want to say to Sean, our next speaker, actually second to the last speaker, he is the hereditary chief of Cape Mudge, and he is also family to me too. I would like to bring him up. His name is Danny Wallace, the hereditary chief.
Gaelicusla. Gaelicusla hamatle loko loko tle ko selish. Gaelicusla. Gaelicusla kilkamai, kilkamai ko selish. Nuko am kaesu kila, kilkamai. My name is Dan Wallace. I come here today not only by myself, but also with my little nephew here. He's the son of a chief from my territory as well, also to prove to the people as well that our young hereditary chiefs are also beginning to learn and stand with us as well. His name is Naga. I heard some things on the news this morning with respect to what the Collodion people, citizens, were doing with respect to trying to take on and put shame again on our own Six Nations brothers back there. They had a rally support yesterday for themselves, and about 500 of them last night ended up trying to storm the barricade, trying to shame the Aboriginal people, our own people, from doing what they're doing I agree a lot with what was said with respect to they don't know anything. They're stupid. The people of that state and in that and in this country, the general Canadian citizen is stupid. I don't say that for fear of intimidation by them. I say it as a truth because they are ignorant. They are ignorant to the fact that they don't know. They have no idea. And whose fault is that? Well, let's do a little of the math in this situation here. They elect people to become people who represent them within power. So they're kind of caught in a catch-22 because those people, as soon as they get into power, they seem to forget to teach the general Canadian citizen, as well as the immigrants as they are, to start teaching the truth, to start telling about what really is going on. How many people in Vancouver here, the actual Vancouverite, really know whose territory this is? Whose family lived over there in Kitsilano? Whose mother's family who lived in Stanley Park over there? They have no idea. I figure right now, you know, at least one thing could be said with respect to, you know, one message being sent to the Canadian government after they imprisoned our people, put them in residential schools, sexually assaulted my mother, physically hurt my family, put my grandfather in jail. One thing I want to say to the people of this country and their government representatives, whom they're supposed to duly represent and represent everybody, is that you better wake up. We ain't going nowhere. Through all the abuse, all the murder, intentional murder of our people, what they did in residential school in Port Alberni happening to be one of the most worst for what they did to our children, my mother's generation, my grandparents' generation, killing children, putting them in unmarked graves behind the residential school. We're still not gone. We're here still. The ones that survive, we have a responsibility to all, not only to ourselves, but to our children, like we've spoken about earlier. But we also have a responsibility to show Olakala Maeitla to one another. Our people also at the same time need to be shamed in the same spot with respect to treating with one another with not that much respect. Our own people. And I have to tell you, it happens a lot. And it's not at the fault of our own people. It's at the fault of a system that pits our people against our own people. Our people are growing up. We're becoming a lot more intelligent than what they expected of us by providing only a grade 8 substandard education to my mother's generation. High dropout rate to the Aboriginal students of today, but we're still learning. We're getting smarter, and we're not afraid to kick some ass when we need to. One of the things that really pisses me off, is when I hear the average Canadian say, what do they have to cry about? What do they have to worry about? They get a check every month. At what cost? Today they're living in the benefit of what they stole off of my family and yours. They're still living in that benefit, and they're still trying to tell us that we've done wrong by standing up for what we believe in, by protecting ourselves. It's the government's responsibility, like the sister said earlier to everybody here, to teach the people the truth. The only thing that I see that Canada has to be proud of right now is just that in itself, calling himself a village. And from what I recall, it's an Indian name too, isn't it? Kannada. Anything else that Canada has to be proud of is nothing but shame. Shame on spreading smallpox. Shame on spreading influenza. Shame on imprisoning our people, putting them to jail, and stealing all of my family's regalia, including yours. They owe our people their lives because we saved their lives when they came paddling across this that big ocean on the other side there. They owe us a great debt of gratitude, not the disrespect that they show us today. They need to be taught. Gail Tesla.
I just want to say hoa to you, Danny. You know, I want to bring down like this most well incredible man. You know, heck, we've been whipping him into shape and that, heck, with the elders and that from the Downtown Eastside Women's Center Elders Council. This young man, you know, has done, you know, so many well incredible things, you know, for our causes, you know, in the Downtown Eastside. And, you know, to Lillian George, you know, also from the UNN, and for David Johnson, you know, and for just, you know, the wonderful supporters in that, you know, we just want to say thank you to David Dennis here. Like if we could put our hands together and just say how to UNN. But I would like to introduce him, you know, he's going to be our last speaker, you know, and he's going to give us some guidance, you know, as where we're going to take this from here. But for David Dennis is from the New Chonleth, and he is also the vice president of the UNN.
Thank you. I see a lot of red out there today. I saw a lot of red people and a lot of red hearts today. And I'm really, really, really proud to see the people stand up like this. It's not too long ago that when we came back to the community and we saw protests of Indian people, they were 20, 30 people strong. But every now and then when we got to be thankful to the OPP somehow. Not saying that the roughness and the brutality should be overlooked. But we got to thank the people of Caledonia and thank the people in the Ontario Provincial Police and the federal government for bringing us together. But a lot of people during the meeting of 100 people strong talked a lot about the fact that we didn't want to sit around and talk too much today. That we've talked a lot about our situation. Any one of us can stand up here and articulate our problems. I know that we have students here that live in substandard education systems. We have people here from the Vancouver Friendship Center that understand the system with justice, that respect to our people. There's people here from housing that understand the lack of housing. But today we're here for one focus and one focus only, to let the government know that if they indeed raid Caledonia again, that this is what they can expect across the country. When the colonial governments infected our nations with smallpox and millions of our people died from smallpox, they didn't kill our Indian spirit. When they put us in residential schools and tried to kill our language and culture, they didn't kill our spirit. When they sent 5,000 of their military into Oka to demonstrate their might and power, they didn't kill our Indian spirit. And today, as I look at 400 Indian faces, I know that they did not destroy our Indian spirit here today. We want to tell those people in Caledonia that they don't stand alone, that the children and elders and community leaders of Vancouver want them to know that they'll never walk alone. Never. And today, we want to demonstrate our political ideals today. We didn't only come here to sit around and rally, we came here to march today, am I right? We came here to use our feet and our voice to allow the government to go that they haven't destroyed our Indian spirit. So, we're going to march. We're going to march down Howe. And we're going to march right down Robson Street through all the symbols of the materialism. And we're going to use our feet and voices to allow those people to know that we stand with the people in Caledonia.